This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome back to the Hockey News Podcast. We hope you had an awesome summer. We hope you missed us. This is writer-editor Matt Larkin. I'm here with senior writer Ken Campbell, associate senior writer Ryan Kennedy. We are at the Air Canada Centre right now. If you hear an echo, it's people shooting pucks. We're getting ready for the World Cup of Hockey. We're here to preview it. And I want to get something out of the way right off the bat. Ken, we know that you have some gripes with the entire concept of the tournament. So before we get into our preview, let's just get this out of the way. Say what you got to say right now.
I love the world cash grab of hockey. I love it. I think it's going to be great hockey. I really do. I do not hate this tournament. I don't even dislike this tournament. What I dislike is the duplicitousness that surrounds it. You know, to me, it's a cash grab, and that's fine. That's fine. As Ryan has pointed out many times, the Olympics is a cash grab too. So is the NHL playoffs. So is everything. That's fine. But
it's called capitalism.
Yeah. It's all called capitalism. But don't tell me you're trying to grow the game with this tournament when you're going to grow the coffers of the NHL and the NHLPA, and that's it. I talked to a lot of players today. I think the players think they can do the both of these things. They can play a World Cup every 2 years. They can play in the Olympics every 2 years. They can meet the mandate of growing the game by playing in the Olympics, and they can meet the mandate of growing their union's pension fund and pocketbooks by playing in a World Cup every 2 years. If they're okay with it, everybody should be okay with it. If the NHL doesn't play in the Olympics anymore, it's on the owners. The blood's on your hands, guys.
Just so you know, Ken is screaming at the microphone and he's pointing at it as if he's going to fight it right now. He can't see that, but that's what's happening.
We can make this work, guys. We really can. We can make it work. So anyways, let's go on to the world cash grab.
Let's
hockey.
Do it.
All right. Let's go. And I'm gonna squeeze in my take here, especially if the Olympics are still a possibility. It's not hurting anyone, guys. Cash grab or not, it's going to be good hockey. As soon as people started seeing, you know, Austin Matthews dangling Roman Josi, it's like, oh, wow. Oh, I'm kind of excited for this exhibition hockey. As soon as the games start, people are going to forget. It's good hockey. It's not perfect hockey, but it's good hockey.
It's going to be really good hockey. I think it's going to be an excellent tournament. And I've never once for 1 minute doubted that.
All right. Cool story, bro.
Yeah. Tell it again. Why don't you say something, Ryan?
Well, for me, yeah, I've always been on board. I've always been on board for the World Cup, and part of it is I think that the Olympics is run by some of the worst people on the planet, and it doesn't grow the game. I don't see, you know, like Italy's team was just a bunch of guys from Toronto when they hosted. South Korea is going to be a bunch of guys from Canada when they host, and you know, we haven't seen France become a world power. You know, since they hosted the Winter Games.
Well, they wear chickens on their sweaters. Like, how are you supposed to play hockey when you're wearing a chicken on your sweater?
It's a rooster.
I know, it's a rooster, whatever. How are you supposed to win?
Actually, I'm wondering
like,
that.
It was like back in the old days, in the 80s, there was a team in the IHL. Honestly, guys, it was called the Peoria Prancers.
Yes.
Like, could you imagine sitting there in the dressing room before the game and you're like playing for Saginaw or something and you're going, oh, shit, guys. We're playing the Prancers tonight. I'm shitting my pants here.
Prancers, toughest guy. I got a confession. I don't know. Are roosters still chickens? And when people eat chicken, are they sometimes eating rooster? Because I have no idea. I never have.
I don't know.
Like, do people eat rooster? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Sadly, I think that, like, roosters probably just, like, get their necks broken and thrown in the trash. They do that with other animals. I don't see why they wouldn't do it with roosters.
I know the eggs come out of a chicken.
I know that. I know that as well.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Poultry talk aside, now it's time to get down to business. Let's just keep it simple, guys. Who are your top three teams in the field of eight for the tournament?
Canada, Sweden, Finland. I'm not convinced that the United States has a good enough team to keep up in this tournament. I think they made a fatal mistake. And I think they made the mistake that Canada made in Nagano in 1998. They built a team to beat Canada.
Canada didn't do that in 98. They built a team to beat the States.
Technically, and, they did beat themselves.
Yeah, and they forgot that there's some other good teams in this tournament. So I think, and Russia, they're just too much of a wild card. I mean, they could win the whole thing. They could finish seventh. But I mean, if you're looking for consistency and you're looking on paper, I think those are the three teams that I think will be there in the end.
For me, it's Canada, Sweden, and I'm going to say North America, just because I think they have that upside. My worry with Finland is, they have a pretty young decor. I mean, Rasmus Ristolainen, as good as he is, he's one of their oldest defensemen. That's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
And in terms of the offensive ceiling, there's some good weapons there to be sure, but I just don't see that high end that some of the other teams do, and I think that it kind of opens the door in that one pool where I could see North America maybe knocking off Finland in that round robin, and that could drastically alter how things head into the playoffs. So for me, I think North America is an interesting team to watch, and Ken, I know you had some thoughts on just what their ceiling is.
Yeah, they're that's a brutal group. Hey, like that's the group of death.
There's two groups. One's
the group of death. The other's the group of
Canada's in the group
of Canada and like a whole bunch of other guys. Like Finland, Sweden, Russia, and North America. That's a tough group, eh?
Yeah.
Like, and only two are coming out, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see which team. This summer, I was really excited about the North Americans. I'm not as much now because, and it depresses me that I'm not as much because it's because I'm not sure that this team can play a style that's conducive to winning, you know? I mean, we all get wrapped up in the speed and skill of the North American team, but, you know, there's other teams that can skate and play, make plays in this tournament too.
Yeah.
And they're a lot better and a lot more experienced and play a lot better defense. I think the North Americans really got exposed against the Czechs in that game. In that preseason game, they lost 3-4-2 or whatever. They didn't look good in their own end a couple of times. And that's where I worry about them. And that's where I think if they're going to struggle in this tournament, it's going to be in that part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the potential saving grace and the potential death of North America is that this is such a short tournament, and those round robin games mean so much because of the playoff format. As I said before, I think they have a window where if they catch the Finns, that's one win that they need. Now, could they maybe catch the Russians on a bad day? I mean, we look at that Russian defense, it looks really slow and really problematic. On the other hand, Russia has some of the best offensive players in the world that they can trot out on their top two, even top three lines. But that's a 60-minute game, and weird things can happen.
Yeah.
So for me, North America, I think they could finish anywhere from second to fourth in that pool, and I would not be shocked.
I talked to a scout last night who said they're not going to win a game. That the North Americans are not going to win a game.
That could happen.
And
the scout part of Team Europe?
No. I'm not prepared to go that far, but it could happen. It could happen. They're in a, you know, you're playing Finland, Sweden, Russia. I mean, really, would we be surprised if North America couldn't beat any one of those teams? Not terrible. Yeah.
Pekka Rinne could get a shutout. Tuukka Rask could get a shutout.
Sergei Bobrovsky could get a shutout the way he's playing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's interesting you mentioned Rask and Bobrovsky, actually, because to me, that's what makes North America so interesting. You know, it was always a given they were going to have crazy speed, crazy skill. But to me, why I'm very interested in them as a dark horse is because their supposed weaknesses. We don't know for sure our weaknesses anymore. Goaltending a year ago, I remember writing something for the Hockey News about how we needed to up the age limit because there was no goalie that was even playing in the NHL. Like, John Gibson wasn't playing in the NHL, Connor Hellebuyck, Matt Murray. All of a sudden, Matt Murray just won 15 games. He won the Stanley Cup. And if I have a high-stakes game, I don't think I'm betting on Sergei Bobrovsky as good as he might look right now. I'm betting on Matt Murray. I mean, Matt Murray's my boy. I know he's my man
crush. I don't know about that. I mean, if Bobrovsky's healthy,
it's pretty damn good.
He's won a Venison trophy, eh, Matt?
Like, but he's always
pretty good, eh?
Growing strain.
He's pretty good, eh? He's pretty good.
But I would bet, I think a Sergei Bobrovsky growing strain is more likely than a Russia championship win at this tournament. He just is so prone soft tissue injuries that I've almost given up hope that he's going to have another fully healthy season ever again. He just, once they start, it just seems like it's chronic for the rest of their career.
Another interesting thing is, with North America's defense, I mean, that was a question right away. I remember talking to a player not one on any of the teams, but he was sort of saying, like, man, you know, that defense, obviously it's young, and how are they going to respond when these big, strong players from other teams lean on them? But if you think about where the game is right now, you think about how the Penguins won the Stanley Cup, all the teams that have been successful, it's all about puck movement, particularly from the back end. Like, Pittsburgh didn't have, on paper, a very good defense.
Right.
But they got the puck, whipped it out to the forwards as quickly as possible. You look at that North American defense, yeah. You look how mobile they are, how confident they are as puck handlers. You know, Seth Jones, Morgan Riley, Aaron Ekblad, like, Ghost Bear, like, the list goes on and on. I think if you can't get them in a mud fight, you could be in trouble because they could just be whipping the puck out. You know, you're talking about getting up and down the ice many, many times in a game, playing that high pace. And I think that gives them a chance. But, I mean, that's the fun part of this tournament is that every single game is going to be important.
Yeah, you're going to have to lean on them. Lean on them. I think that the teams that play against the North Americans are going to have to go into that game, look at the other end of the ice, growl at them, and try and set the pace right away, set the tempo right away, and say, it's almost like the Usain Bolt thing with Andre DeGrasse at the Olympics. Wag their finger at him. Like, okay, boys, look, none of that. This isn't happening on our watch tonight, okay?
Right.
So you're going to have to lean on them. You're going to have to play them physically, and you're going to have to slow them down. And it'll be interesting to see how they respond to that kind of pressure, because that's what teams are going to do. They're going to lean on those guys, and it'll be interesting to see how these young guys channel it and sort of try and play their way out of something like that.
And it's a really good point. You know, even though I'm a Team North America backer, I hadn't really thought of that before. And just by virtue of being these good young prospects, they're all high draft picks in recent years, and most of the guys are, right? A lot of first round picks, which means they're on teams that have been quite bad for the last several years. So if you look at a Jacob Trouba, a Seth Jones, a Ryan Murray, a Morgan Riley, you know, other than when they were world juniors, how many high stakes games have these guys
Ryan
played against?
Hopkins guys,
yeah,
the Edmonton
against
guys,
NHLers.
Yeah.
They have played very few high stakes games. So it's a good point. It'll be interesting to see mentally. On the other hand, they are also, I would still argue, the team with the least amount of pressure, them in Europe, because they don't have that national pressure. So
it
makes them, like, to me, they're by far the most interesting team in the tournament.
They're everybody's favorite team.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're the pet team.
Yeah,
I think if you, you know, if your country's out, you're cheering for those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I wrote a blog about this, speaking with a bunch of the guys at Media Day. They're having a blast. It's so, I mean, they're the only team where everybody is basically the same age. They have a lot of the same interests. Most of them grew up playing against each other. So for once, it's fun to play on the same team as a guy that you probably had to beat to get a World Junior gold, a guy that you had to beat to get your draft position, whether it be first or second or third overall.
Right.
And one final thought on that defense, and you know, you mentioned about teams leaning on them. Wouldn't it be ironic if John Tortorella put together a team that could beat North America but not Canada? You know, if they play in the semifinal, he can say, like, okay, well, you know, I was pretty close geographically.
Oh, man. Well, it's funny with North America because they've been such a hot take for so long that the take is no longer hot. The take is lukewarm at best. So is there a new team we can pick as sort of the dark horse, the hot take team that can make a run? Because it's no longer fashionable to say North America because everyone said North America.
Maybe the other one. Maybe the other one. The other put together, made up, manufactured, you know, money grab team that they made. Oh, wait, we got past that. Sorry. Anyways, I think maybe Team Europe. I mean, the way they played against Sweden. They dominated Sweden. They were down, what, 5-1 to the kids?
5-1,
and came back and really put the pedal to the metal. And I they surprised me a little bit, you know? Like, I think, you know, Ralph Kruger was talking about it today, and he said, you know, there actually is a lot of national pride on this team. He said, everybody's attitude is, let's play for this underdog country that never seems to have a chance, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, Slovenia goes in the Olympics, you know, whatever. It's like, we're a cannon fodder, right? We might win a game here or there, whatever. But, you know, and if everything falls into place, we make the quarterfinal and we lose, right?
Right.
But here, it's like, and he said, Franz Nielsen, he said the other night, Franz Nielsen was sitting on the bench the night they beat the Swedes 6-2. He said, towards the end of the game, he pointed to his Denmark flag on his sweater, and he said, I think I've played Sweden 200 times, and he says, tonight I finally beat him. So,
that's,
you know what?
Cool.
There's going to be some pride in there, too. You know, maybe they don't have their own song. You know, well,
they do. Isn't it Beethoven? Which to me, isn't that not the German song? Or is that Austria? That's Thomas Vanek's song.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? Because no. Beethoven was from Vienna, is he not?
It should be,
or is that Sigmund Freud? Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Anyways, stop talking because you're just going to keep digging yourself and look like more of a rube than you are.
I had a nanny from Austria as a kid. And I picked up an Austrian accent for a while. Like, my mom would come home.
How did you have a nanny?
Oh, like a babysitter, Her name was Ingrid. And then she'd come, my mom would come home from work, and I'd be like, Mom, can I have a bath? I picked up her accent.
No, but that was because you fell off the swing and had a concussion. That's why you're talking like
that.
I thought Europe's theme song was going to be the Final Countdown.
It's two breaths.
Yeah, I used that when I got married, when we came into the reception hall.
I know, I was at your wedding.
Yeah.
It was good.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Getting back on track. Oh, although I will say, I will get off track one more time. It would be really hilarious if Europe's jerseys actually said the other ones instead of the logo they come up. That would be kind of funny. Then you would be playing with a chip on your shoulder.
Right.
The one thing I'm thinking, I mean, there's only 8 teams to choose from, but... Again, because it's such a short tournament, I know the Czechs are probably the biggest underdogs.
Yep.
But you always have to ask, what if? What if Peter Mrazek or Michael Neuwirth gets hot in it? Yeah. You'll notice I'm not saying Andrei Pavlik getting hot. We know that's not going to happen. But one of the two young guys, what if they get hot? It's something to consider. And again, there's a team where nobody's picking them, but there's still some talent on that squad. It'll be interesting.
And the Czechs, they're kind of a strange team, eh? Like, they just play like beasts in these tournaments. Like, I remember Robert Reichel, you know? Okay, Robert, here. We're going to pay you $4 million a year to play in the NHL. $4 million. Comes to the NHL. Woof. He's a hound. He's a hound.
He took a slap shot on a penalty shot in a playoff game. Come on, Robert.
Like, anyways, in the NHL, couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. Give me my money. I just want to make my money and go home. And then you put him in the Olympics, and he plays like the second coming of Marc Messier. You know, and these guys, a lot of these guys from Czech and a lot of these European countries, that's a part of their mentality. And it's not that they don't work hard in the NHL, except Robert Reichel really didn't work hard in the NHL. But it's not like they don't work hard in the NHL, but I think, you know, for them, you know, everybody talks about, oh, when you put on that Canadian sweater. A lot of, for these guys, when they put on that sweater, it is every bit as important to them as it is to guys over here.
And if you think about it, I mean, especially with the Czechs and countries like Slovakia that have been obviously put into Team Europe, I mean, things are a lot more tenuous over there when it comes to the grassroots game. I thought, you know, with the Summer Ivan Hlinka tournament, the Czechs won it. I mean, they never even come close. They won it this year. I was talking to a scout after the tournament, and he was talking about one of the best players, Pavel Zadina. He's actually not eligible until the 2018 NHL draft, but he said he might be one of the favorites to go first. When was the last time we talked about a Czech kid maybe going first overall in the NHL draft?
Yeah.
It's been
a long time. It's been 17 years. Patrick Stefan.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some good
Czech players. And look how that turned out.
Yeah, really. Yeah, let's not damn the kid with faint praise here. But it's important because, you know... in the past sort of decade or so, it's been tough sledding for a lot of those countries. And, you know, that national pride, it can go somewhere.
All right.
To wrap it up, fellas, let's hear your tournament MVP pick. Who are you feeling on a hunch?
Wow. On a hunch.
I'll go first. I have one of mine. I have a vibe. Patrice Bergeron. I mean, it helps that I'm doing a story on him. I spent the entire day talking to people about him. But the way he's looked so far in the tournament, he's playing on that line with Crosby. He's going to be freed up offensively a little bit because he's probably going to be playing the right wing I think what's going to be a dominant line with Crosby and Brad Marchand. I have a feeling that it's going to be just one of those tournaments where everything clicks, and I'm calling Patrice Bergeron for tournament MVP.
I'm going to go with Johnny Gaudreau. I'm not saying North America is going to win the entire tournament, and maybe that would be the factor in the MVP, but, you know, internationally, he always shows up and he always lights it up. And he was incredible when Team USA won the World Juniors a couple of years ago in Russia. I think he's going to have a great chance to put up a lot of points, and based off that metric, I'd put his name forward.
Carey Price. You could argue Carey Price is the best player in the world.
Yep.
Hasn't played in a year. Looked really good against Russia. Was it last night or whatever? They're all day
some night
together.
Recently.
Anyways, recently. So in a recent match.
Recent game of hockey.
In a recent match of ice hockey, Carey Price looked really good. Russia was all killing Canada in the 3-on-3 overtime, and then they spring Getzlaf for the goal, and it was largely because of Carey Price. And that one backdoor save he made was terrific. So, you know, Carey Price, best player in the world? Maybe.
Yeah.
MVP of this tournament? Very well could be.
Yeah. Well said. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Go to the new and improved hockeynews.com, brand new website throughout the tournament, for lots of stories and profiles and everything you need to know about this tournament. And yes, we promise the comment section has returned for the articles.
And just to be clear, it's not the new and improved hockeynews.com. That's a really long handle. It's still just
thehockeynews.com. Don't type that in.
It's new and improved. Don't type in the new and improved hockeynews.com.
Yeah. You can
just
Google that.
Just type in thehockeynews.com. Or TH. Even better, THN.com gets you right there.
Yeah.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
It's true. It's a short
one. Correct.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yes. Yeah.